Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to share this morning in Mark's hat. Oh, I'm sorry, he's sitting over here. no, I'm just kidding. He let me know that they may or may not be away today, but I accused him of wanting to grade me, you know, to make sure, you know, I preached here, I think, once when you've been here, and, you know, he's checking on me a second time to make sure I, you know, with confidence he can leave and I won't hurt y'all too bad. So, but anyway, I'm glad he could be here today. Hope you had a good Christmas season, which is still in effect and still running for the next week or so. And got to see a lot of folks that you wanted to see, and perhaps some you didn't. But anyway, you know, that's the way it is, right? But we're glad. And we had a fun season. We picked up a new little hobby. Some of you all know about. And if you look at my appearance, you know that I can with the best of them. So we kind of help him out a little bit during that season by making some visits and stuff. So we had our last one Christmas, the day after Christmas. So all of that's put in the attic right now. But we've had a little bit busy time, but we're glad to be here today as we worship on this first Sunday after Christmas. And I want to share with you a couple of things that, I didn't welcome you. The Lord be with you. Now we can have church. There's not much going on this week. This is it. Until next week. So I'm assuming no Wednesday night or anything this week. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. You also see the note about the return to live streaming. You see that. And those that we want to remember as we worship who cannot be here. And we'll deal with other prayer requests shortly. Again, we're glad you're here. And we want to enter now in this time of worship. And in doing so, let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for this season of celebration that just does not end on midnight of the 25th. But Father, we carry it on, and not just until Epiphany, but we should carry it on each day of the year. So God, we pray that every year we get all wrapped up in the things of the world and in our own selfishness and self-centeredness many times, we forget. So Father, help keep it fresh in our minds as we begin this journey now during the Christmastide season. Bless us now in this time of worship and guide and direct in all we do. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of praise is 127, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Those who are able, will you stand as we sing together?
126.
Excuse me.
126.
Oh, okay, 123.
Six.
Pick a number from 123 to 127 and we'll all sing together. 126.
Story now proclaimed. we have Hark the Herald.
No, you're not confused. I am. Okay, now let's hark the herald.
Turn the page.
127. Seated.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Now, we know that we can say that beyond December 25th, because we're supposed to have how many days of Christmas? 12. But did you know that we really should say that even beyond the 12th day? Because what is the purpose of Christmas? Right. Celebrating God's appearance as a baby. And we want to live we need to keep that spirit in our hearts all year through. So we have to remember that we don't just want to do it on December 25th or even for the 12 days. We want to always remember everyone. And we always want to show them God's love and God's spirit. Can we do that all year? So even if it's July and you want to say Merry Christmas, you can, because that just means that God's Spirit is alive and well, and we remember what God did for us, because He sent His Son as a baby to save us, right? Let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank You for this wonderful season, but we must remember that this season is more than a day, more than 12 days. It needs to live in us all year, year after year, in Your Son's name.
The good news is, right now, I am not going to preach. I'm going to read the scripture. I think we're back on track. Oh, well. Such is life. Isaiah chapter 60. I'll be reading verses 1 through 6 for our Old Testament lesson this morning. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together to come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And then from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When the King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" When Herod secretly called for the three wise men and learned, from the wise men, and learned from them exactly what time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage to him." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another route. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And let me share with you those who we need to remember. Rita Burgess, let's remember her, has broken her leg. For Randy and Andy Copeland, Sherry Parker, Bernice Jenkins, Faye Jenkins, Sherry B. Is it Villas? Gary Brett, and Burgess, Freddie Burgess's daughter, Casey, and Graham. Or Casey Burgess, broken leg. And let's also remember Debbie and her family, Hill, as they still celebrate the life and yet grieve the loss of T.W. This is never a good time, but Christmas is always difficult. But it can also be a positive time as well. Let's pray for one another, our church, our community, our world, our nation, so much. So let's take a moment as you remember your own personal requests and these that we've shared and others silently, and I will voice our prayer shortly. Let us pray. We spend so much time getting ready, Father, that once everything is over, it's so easy just to become lethargic and wish we could do it again. But Father, time moves forward, and while we might feel somewhat down because the events of Advent and Christmas are behind us, help us to celebrate and take joy in the fact that we were able to celebrate together as church, as family, as neighbors and friends. And Father, help us to look forward now to a year coming that none of us knows what will happen. But we can take confidence in the fact, Father, that you know and that you are in control. Forgive us where we failed you, for we all have failed you miserably, even today. Father, I ask that you grant that forgiveness that you shared in your word, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And we do that just now, claiming that promise. Father, we pray for the unspoken requests that were shared a few moments ago in the quietness of this room. We pray for these families who are dealing with issues, health issues, in members of their family. We pray for Debbie Hill and her family. We pray for others from this congregation and community who find this time of year difficult because of those who have not been able and are not able to take their seat at the table. Father, we just pray your encouragement and strength and blessings on each one. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for its ministry and its community. Thank you for Mark's leadership, and pray that you'll bless he and Joanne as they continue their journey here. Father, be with us now as we continue this time of worship. And may we leave here different than when we came in a positive way, ready to share your good news with the world that is so in need. And we'll give you praise for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. Let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you join me now as we stand to sing our hymn of thanksgiving, 114, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child. 114. Star shone brightly for Pray. Father, when we compare the gifts that we share with you each week, either here or online, it doesn't even come close to comparing to the gift that you have blessed us with in your Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we continue to celebrate. But Father, help us to realize that even though our gifts may seem insignificant, pulled together, can produce mighty results in sharing the good news of Jesus throughout the world and throughout this community. So, Father, bless these offerings that are given, and may they be used for the advancement of your kingdom, both here and abroad. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him.
them all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From a manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king.
Thank you, Paula. And for the offertory, thank you. There was a gentleman taking a walk one day, and he decided to take a little break when he came upon a field full of kids playing baseball. So walking up closer, he realized it was a little league game going on, so he went over to one of the, by the fence, by one of the dugouts, and he leaned in to a young man that was there and said, "Son, what's the score?" And the little boy looked at him and he said, "We're losing 18 to nothing." So the man, you know, looking at the little boy as he made that reply, said, "Well, son, you don't look very discouraged." He said, "I'm not. We haven't come up to bat yet." As a high school student in the western part of the state in the 70s, I had a summer job each year working at the corporate office of Broyhill Furniture. Now that sounds real impressive, doesn't it? It's still standing. It's called something else now, but it's still, building's still there. It wasn't what it sounds like. I worked in the maintenance, which meant we did everything from mow the 40 acres that sat around that office complex, to taking care of the yards of the president and vice president of the company, as well as Congressman Jim Broyhill's yard, plus anything else that needed to be done that nobody else wanted to do. I remember one day in the one summer, it had been miserably hot and humid and just terrible. And it was one of those days that, you know, you get up, the sun's out, and then all of a sudden it rains for like 2 hours, and then the sun comes back out. Well, somebody in their infinite wisdom, in doing some remodeling or repairing there at the office in the showroom, which actually was the whole top floor of that office, decided to put Sealatex squares in the dumpster. And when the rain hit it, it soaked it, and it was so heavy in the dumpster, the truck couldn't pick the thing up to dump it. So guess who had to go climb in the dumpster in the early afternoon, after the cafeteria closed, after all the garbage was dumped, to get that Sealatex out so the dump truck or the dumpster could pick it up. That's the kind of stuff we did. So it wasn't any high-end job, I can tell you. But I remember the guy, the head of maintenance was named Lester Schrantz. And Lester and his wife were members of my dad's church there near Lenore, and hence I got the job. But Lester loved cigars, but he didn't smoke them very often. He just stuck one in the side of his mouth. He looked like Edward G. Robinson, exactly, in more ways than just cigar. But he'd chew on that cigar half a day, and he'd throw it away and put a new one in after lunch. But I always remember him coming around to us, regardless of what we were doing, and he'd say, "All right, boys, give out, not up. Give out, not up." And I want you to focus on that for a few minutes this morning. Now, Epiphany's a week or so away. This is not the Epiphany sermon. Mark and I conversed about that. But it makes the point I want us to take away today. And that point is, give out, not up, as far as our faith is concerned. One might suggest that Lester was trying to instill in us a stick-to-itiveness, a sense of endurance and persistence to do the tasks that he'd assigned us. And he was kind of like our cheerleader and all of that. But he would encourage us. And that little bit of encouragement at least let us know we were doing something halfway right anyway. You know, keep doing what you're doing. I would suggest that it could be said the same of the wise men. Whether there were 3, 4, or 6, we don't know for sure. In their journey that, you know, legend has us to believe that they walked for years to go see. We don't know how long it was. Could have been 3 months, could have been a year, could have been longer. We just know Jesus was older than an infant when they got there. Because as we read in Matthew, he was not in the manger, he was at the house. So I'm sorry to destroy your vision of the nativity, but moving on. They were persistent. It's a model, I think, for us today in our faith, in our journey. The story's timeless. We've seen it played out. We've heard all the songs, heard some today. But one distinctive, I think, that puts them in a different place in the birth narrative of Jesus is that they persisted in what they were doing. They gave out, not up. You may or may not recall that these men were part of the priestly caste of Zoroastrianism. It was a monotheistic, pre-Islamic religion from ancient Persia, founded by Zoroaster in the 6th century BC. And as a part of their religion, they were astronomers. They paid attention to the stars, and they gained a reputation for astrology, which at that time was a highly regarded science. Their practices and use of astrology bring us a derivative from the word magi to magic. The pilgrimage they were on had some sort of religious significance for these men based on what they did, based on their study of astrology as a science. If that hadn't been the case, would they have taken the trouble to do that? They obviously were men of curiosity, and they saw this unusual star in the sky, and that began their journey. They were persistent. Calvin Coolidge once said, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, "Press On," has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race, end quote. Now, I'm not sure I agree with that last sentence totally, but the point is well taken that we need to be persistent in our faith walk. And as persistent as we want to be, every one of us are not, preachers included. We just aren't because of our human nature. But that doesn't excuse the fact that we are still to give out, not up, in our walk with Jesus Christ. There needs to be that persistence and that consistency, the doggedness, the endurance, the grit, if you will, the stick-to-itiveness, the perseverance, the resolution, the tenacity in our walk and in our journey as a part of our daily lives. These guys could have decided early on, well, this is too much. Too long, going to cost too much, it's too hot during the day, it's too cold during the night. But they didn't yield to those temptations. They pressed on. They carried on, keeping their focus on what was their mission. That finding the king who had been born. Because you'll recall also that was significant. That star was significant. It symbolized that a king was born somewhere. Now, we're on this side of history. But these guys are looking at this star. They know a king is born. They're not real sure at that point, I don't think, who it is. But they've got an idea. These were smart guys. They probably knew some of what the Jewish prophecy was, or at least had heard about it. They were focused on that star. They knew when they got to the point where that star was leading them, they'd find a king. Nothing stopped them. Fear didn't, not even fear of Herod or anything of the unknown. There was no question. They were focused on their mission, which leads us to a couple of questions. Are we that dedicated to our calling of God? Well, I don't have a calling of God. Well, yeah, you do. All of us are called to salvation. All of us are gifted to do something. All of us are sent to do that something somewhere with somebody at some point. So are we that dedicated to that calling in our lives? And remember, that calling does not have to be standing up here preaching or singing or teaching Sunday school. It doesn't have to be anything connected to a church necessarily. It can be reflecting the life of Christ in anything that you do, in everything that you do. It doesn't mean you go in with a Bible as big as this pulpit Bible and beat people in the head with it. It means that we treat people like Jesus treated them in our daily walk. It's being consistent in that. It's being dedicated to that each day. Are we that dedicated to that calling? To commit to what we believe to be the direction we should follow in our faith. Not what somebody else thinks we should do. What we believe we should do through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Are we that dedicated? As individuals and as a church? Or, you know, there's always an or, unfortunately. Do we give up at the first sign of inconvenience? Are we too resistant to change? What about peer pressure? You can't do that. You can't do that. Don't forget Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. When we get that way, it's kind of the opposite of it. Satan tried to get Jesus to do things that he knew he wasn't going to do. Satan tries to get us not to do things that we know we ought to do. Or what about just the fact that we're afraid we're going to fail? Is that the point that we just sit down and just don't do anything? I've heard it said many times that many believe that the cross was the biggest failure in history. Yet Jesus conquered that, didn't he? Where does fear come from? Fear does not come from God. But we let that get to us, and we use that. We give up. We give up. We lose faith. But in the context of that, we need to remember that God never loses faith in us. He never loses faith in us. He continues to have that faith that we can do what He's given us gifts to do if we will just do it. If we will just do it. If we will persevere. He will walk with us on that journey. I'm going to show you something. Well, I'm just not much. God doesn't have time for me. I'll show you something. Hang on a minute. It's unusual I have one of these. I have a $20 bill here. Now, this $20 bill can do a lot with $20. Well, used to be able to do a lot with $20 bill. Still do a lot with it, a little less than once before. But if I took this dollar bill and I wadded it up like that, and I threw it on the ground, and I stomped my foot on it, probably got a little bit of dirt on it, is that any less valuable? Still 20 bucks. What if I walked out of church, down the front, and went out by the curb and found a $20 bill laying in a puddle of water, soaking wet? Would you walk by and just say, I'm not messing with that? No. What would you do? You know what you do. You're going to take it home, dry it out, put it in your wallet. Because why? It's still worth $20. The same goes for us. The same goes for us. No matter what you and I have been through, no matter whether or not we sell ourselves short and try to convince ourselves that God can't use us and we can't do this or that, we still have value to God. Just like that $20 bill has a value for you and I, if we find one. Give out, not up. It always goes back to persistence. A quote from someone who once said, persistence will ultimately provide its own motivation. If you simply keep taking action, you will eventually get results, and results can be very motivating. Many people are going to have a New Year's resolution like they do every year that they're going to lose weight, right? Going to lose weight. I'm going to spend money on this equipment and that equipment. I'm going to do this and that and the other, which is great. The problem is that enthusiasm about dieting and exercise tends to go away before we've been at it long enough to recognize that we've lost some weight and our clothes feel looser than they used to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then all of a sudden, we get motivated. We give out too quick. We quit too soon. I believe it's the same way in our faith. We need to maintain the ability to maintain action regardless of how we feel. Do what God has sent us to do. Follow the movement of the Spirit in our lives to reach out to others, to be Christ in somebody's life. Even though we feel like quitting, even though we feel like giving up. One time in her life, Mother Teresa felt abandoned by God. One day she'd been walking the streets of Calcutta trying to find a house where she could start her work. She looked and looked and looked. At the end of each day, she wrote in her diary, "I've wandered the streets again today. My feet are sore. I can't find a place to live. Satan is telling me, leave it all, go back to the convent where you came from." But she didn't give up. She kept going. She kept persisting. She followed her mission and finally found a home, the Missionaries of Charity, which eventually ended up feeding 500,000 families a year in Calcutta alone and treating 90,000 patients of victims of leprosy and educating thousands of children. She gave out, but she didn't give up. The Magi faced hatred. They faced hostility from Herod. They faced indifference from the Pharisees and the scribes because they were committed to stay their course. Stay their course. Their goal, to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ, of this infant, this child whom they encountered. Our faith should encourage us to do the same, to give out, not up, to stay the course, to carry on, to stick with the Master and His mission. But some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, I read somewhere in the Bible where Jesus said, you can give up. Well, that's true. There is a time when giving up might be a viable option. Have you heard of a company called Trafidata? Anybody ever heard of Trafidata? Nobody ever heard of Trafidata? It was a company that was started by Bill Gates and Paul Allen called Trafidata back in 1972. Gates and Allen ran it for several years before they threw in the towel, but they gave up on that company. Anybody here, Microsoft? They gave out on that company, but they didn't give up on Microsoft. Luke 9, 1-5, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He calls them together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Whenever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. There may be a time to give up, a time when it seems our witness is not being accepted and we may need to dust off our feet. That's the reality of it. But until we feel through the Holy Spirit that we've reached that point, I believe that God wants us to be as persistent and focused and tenacious as the wise men, and not backing down, not giving up, but pressing on, carrying on, moving forward, doing what He's leading us to do, whether individually or collectively. Those of you recall, I'm a big fan of Oswald Chambers, and his devotion on December 22nd was entitled Drawn by the Father. In it, he has this quote I wanted to close with. Each of us must deliberately launch forth on God and on what He says until we're no longer confident in what we've done, only in Him. What holds most of us back is that we won't trust God, only our own understanding. Remember that verse in Proverbs? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. We want to lean on our own understanding. He goes on, each one of us is made to reach out beyond our grasp. End quote. To reach out beyond our grasp. May we, as individuals and as a church and collectively as congregations, be willing to reach out beyond our grasp. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Father, this is a hard prayer to pray, to ask you to help us reach out beyond our grasp, because you will provide for us opportunities to test us in that, to see if we're faithfully willing to do what you lead us to do. It's kind of a scary thought in a way. But as we read in this quote, if we will only completely trust you and realize that you're not going to take us somewhere that we don't need to be, we usually end up in those places on our own because we are leaning on our own understanding. So, Father, give us the grace and the courage and the strength to reach out beyond our grasp, to seek to do what's seemingly impossible, to have the tenacity of these wise men, to continue moving forward on the mission that you have set before us, and not letting anything deter us. And we'll do our best to follow your leading, knowing we're going to stumble, knowing we're going to be afraid, knowing we're going to step back and try to rely on our own logic. But in the end, Father, help us to do away with that notion and just follow you, leaving the results to you. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving, our hymn of response is Go Tell It on the Mountain, 143. Will you stand as we sing together? Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Sorry for the rocky start, but you know, it's kind of like when you get on a bike and you haven't ridden for a while, you know how you kind of go like this? So that's, you know, I'll blame it on that. Okay. okay? But it has been a joy to be here with you all today and to, you know, reconnect with Mark, Joanne, and their daughter. And we just thank you for that opportunity. A thought to take with you from Henry Ward Beecher. The difference between perseverance and obstinacy is that one comes from a strong will and the other comes from a strong won't. Get that? One comes from a strong will and the other comes from a strong won't. Again, thank you for being here. Enjoy the rest of this Christmastide season. And as Sarah said, we can say Merry Christmas more than at Christmas. Maybe not verbally, but that spirit can be in our soul each day that we live throughout this year. And others will pick that up. We'll pick that up. Let us bow for our prayer. May God, who began a good work in you, continue to be at work in your life, guiding, teaching, and equipping you until Jesus Christ returns. And may your love and compassion continue to grow, a love that is full of knowledge, wise insight, and perseverance, so that you'll be able to recognize what really matters as you continue on the mission God has placed before you, remembering that we go nowhere by accident. Whenever we go, God is sending us. Wherever we are, God has placed us there for a purpose. God, who indwells us, has something he wants to do through us wherever we are. Believe this and go in his joy, his grace, power, and his peace and blessing into this new year. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.